Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 5 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're doing a recap of Revelation 17 through 19. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something very special over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If so, would you please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray? Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you end Bible poverty worldwide? Would you cause your people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? And would you provide your beautiful word to every single tongue and tribe on earth? Would you raise up translators, messengers, missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word in Jesus' name? Amen. With that, we're going to jump into Revelation. We're doing a recap of Revelation chapter 17 through 19:5. And what this is, Revelation 17 through 19:5 is a parenthetical section in the story, in the narrative of Revelation, where we're taking a step back and we're looking at something that is going on during the Great Tribulation and before. We're looking at the broadest period of history that Revelation covers, the broadest period of time that the book of Revelation covers in these three chapters. And the reason why is because this is the why behind the book of Revelation. When we've seen all of the plagues, when we've seen the judgments, the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, when we've seen everything else that's been going on, we've not been given an understanding into why is God doing this? Why is this cataclysmic ending happening? Why is this taking place like this? What is the reason? What is the purpose for this? And these chapters, 17 through 19:5, is the reason for it. And it's Babylon. Babylon, this city and this system, like we've talked about this week, this is the reason why God is pouring out these cruel judgments on planet Earth. But here in chapter 19, we're told that they're true and just. Even though they seem cruel, they're just. God is not being cruel as we would suppose, as what it looks like on face value. And I've said this many times through the book of Revelation, if you can't find something to be offended about in this book, if something that you read doesn't strike you as cruel and unjust, then I think you need to read it more carefully, because so many of these things, especially to an American Western believer in 2016, it looks cruel. It looks unusual. It looks harsh. But here we're told, in Revelation 17 through 19, that God is being just, that the evil and the wickedness that's being poured out on God's people by this city and system of Babylon is so exceedingly wicked. It's so other than anything in human history. There's never been anything like this in human history. This is completely unprecedented. What is going on here is completely unprecedented. The persecution and martyrdom of God's saints in the years leading up to the Great Tribulation is unprecedented. The Great Tribulation itself will be unprecedented as well, but this time period leading up to the beginning of the Great Tribulation, there's never been anything like it in human history. The wickedness that is going to take place on planet Earth is going to be turned up to an 11. This is so beyond anything that anyone has ever experienced or thought of. Now, I want to make the point here that there are people who are suffering persecution and martyrdom right now on planet Earth. You don't get any more tribulation. The tribulation doesn't get any greater than being persecuted and martyred. You don't get to die multiple times for the sake of the Lord. So this for some people on planet Earth, their tribulation is as great as it gets. What makes the Great Tribulation great is that it's going to be worldwide in nature. And what makes Babylon the Great so great is its worldwide nature. It's the system that it will encompass. Babylon the city will be this, I believe, rebuilt city. It will be a physical, literal place that will be either some city that's now in existence or, as I believe, the literal city of Babylon rebuilt. But it's also going to encompass a system, a worldwide system that will bring this cruel punishment to God's people. It will judge God's people and destroy them. We're told in these passages that this harlot, Babylon, is drunk with the wine, the blood of the saints. She's drunk with wine, and that wine is the blood of the saints. That's martyrdom, like never before. We're told early on in the fifth seal judgment that the judgment is actually the saints under the altar who've been martyred, crying out, "How long until you avenge our blood?" That is one of the judgments on the wicked people on planet Earth, is just the voice of the martyred saints crying out against the evil people on planet Earth. Now, understand, when I say evil, I don't mean just people that do bad. I don't mean, you know, people that are worse than you. That's what most people understand as evil. Evil people are the ones who are worse than me. No one, if you ask them, they're not evil. Most people will tell you they're not evil. It's them other guys. It's them other guys that do bad stuff. What we're talking about here when it comes to evil is we're talking about the most heinous things ever in human history, on a scale unprecedented in human history. We're told through Daniel and through Revelation that this Antichrist system is going to be this rekindled Roman rulership of some form or fashion, whether it's a literal revival of the Roman Empire or something that looks like it in its scale and cruelty. We don't know that for sure. But there's going to be immense cruelty in the leadership on planet Earth, and it's going to be primarily focused on God's people. God is going to raise up the Antichrist. He is going to allow the Antichrist to have authority on the earth. And we're told that Satan is going to give the Antichrist his authority on the earth. But we know that no leaders, no rulers, including the Antichrist, get their authority unless God grants it to them. So God is granting the authority of rulership to the Antichrist, and he's doing it for the purpose that he would judge and destroy completely the city and the system of Babylon. Now think about that. God is raising up the Antichrist to judge Babylon. How bad do you have to be? How bad are the things that you do that God would raise up the Antichrist to judge you and destroy you? That's how bad Babylon is. If you read Revelation, you think, man, God is being harsh. God is being cruel. Understand that the cruelty and the wickedness on planet Earth against God's people is so unbelievable compared to what people experience now, compared to what you've seen now, compared to what you know now. It's so unbelievable. God is not being cruel. God is being just. Heaven proclaims in Revelation 19 that God is being just in what he's doing to Babylon and what he's going to do to the Antichrist. To what he's doing to every bit of wickedness on planet Earth. God is being just. That's a very difficult thing for Western American Christians to wrap their minds around. We feel like right now, this is 2016, we feel like right now we're undergoing persecution. And what it is Christians in America have maintained their control over the culture to a large extent in the United States. And what we're losing right now, we're not really being persecuted in the United States as of yet. What we're feeling is this loss, this pain of loss of our stuff. And our stuff in this sense is that we controlled the culture. And so as we see the rise of gay marriage, and as we see people turning away from the Lord, the government and the culture at large turning away from the Lord more and more, we reel from the pain of that. And what we're actually reeling from is not persecution as of yet. Now, it is precursor to persecution, but it is not persecution. What it is, it's the pain of loss. That is what people in the United States are feeling. They're feeling the pain of loss of their stuff. And that stuff is our control. We're no longer in control. We're no longer in the driver's seat, and it hurts. And it feels like persecution, but it's not. Persecution is coming on the earth. I pray, and I encourage you to pray, that the United States would be a safe haven for believers. The United States would be a place on the earth where believers are allowed to worship freely. As we read that this is going to be worldwide and its influence, it is. It's going to touch every nation, every place on earth, the cruelty. But there's also going to be nations that hold out. We have to understand that the Antichrist, that Babylon, they're not some supernatural being that are all powerful. They are human. Even though they're granted authority, even though Satan himself will give authority to the Antichrist, he's not all powerful. He's human. We have to understand that there are human systems in place going on during this period. So there will be resistance. There will be pockets on the earth that will resist Babylon, that will resist the Antichrist. So during this period, it will be our glory to pray that God raises up more places of protection, more places of refuge for believers to run, for unbelievers who don't want to be a part of the system to run and be safe. And it is our glory and our privilege to pray for such things. But we have to understand that what's coming is unprecedented in its cruelty and in its scope. And that everything that has gone on in the book of Revelation, God has not been harsh. He's been just. He's been just in what he's doing. And that's one very difficult thing that I've encountered with believers in our day and age in the Western America, is we're so far removed from the wickedness, from the full expression of the wickedness and the wrath of Satan against us. We experience so much freedom. It's very difficult for us to wrap our minds around God judging wicked people. It's very difficult for us to wrap our mind around God judging nations. But God does it. He always has, and he will up to the end. And he does so when his people cry out. He does so when those who are being mistreated and abused cry out. How many times in human history, in the Bible, does it say that these people cried out? Whether it's Israel or not, people cried out and God moves on their behalf. He is stirred with compassion when we cry out and say, "How long, Lord, until you give us justice? How long until you avenge our blood?" He's moved with compassion when people who are abused, mistreated, cry out. He's moved when people do not take revenge for themselves, but they ask the Lord for it. It matters to him. It really does. When you don't take your own revenge as much as you may want to, it really matters to God. It moves his heart. It's powerful. It stirs him. So I encourage you. Let the Lord be your vengeance. And that's a difficult reality to face when we're facing death. But I encourage you, love this life so much because Jesus is the one who gave it to you and because he will give you eternal life. Don't love this life in spite of God, because you will deny him when that time comes. Cultivate that life with God and the Holy Spirit. So if you live through these times, or if your tribulation comes for you apart from the great tribulation, you will stand firm in your testimony of Jesus. That is how we overcome the Antichrist, by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I'll be back next week with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.